The sense of touch is actually, from a neurological point of view, a number of different senses, all spoken of as one. Sensing the pressure of contact is one, sensing the temperature of contact is another, and sensing contact that is so intense it causes us pain is yet another, and sensing a caress so loving it gives us pleasure is another. Yet another dimension of the sense of touch involves our ability to sense the body inwardly, to know, for instance, where your hands are without moving them or looking at them, or what the carriage of the body is in any moment. As we have already noted, this sensory capacity we all have is called proprioception, the sense of knowing where the body is spatially, orienting within the field of the body, and sensing its movements and intentions. Proprioception is so basic that we almost never accord it any status in awareness. It is taken completely for granted. But loss of proprioception through sensory nerve damage is utterly catastrophic. One no longer knows that one is, so to speak, a resident of the body, inhabiting a willing universe of potential intentional activity within the larger world. One's hands and legs are no longer one's own. They are foreign objects with no value or utility. They cannot be moved in anything like the usual way. One's connection with them and with the whole of the body is severed. That is the ultimate being out of touch. Happily, this condition is extremely rare. But being unaware of proprioception and being instrumentally out of touch are sadly extremely common. Luckily, in this case, there is an enormous amount we can do to recover this miraculous dimension of lived experience instantly, for it is never far away, always closer than close. We are only out of touch because we ignore what is already here. If we drop the ignoring, we come instantly to our senses because the senses have already come to us. That is their true nature. We only need to awaken to them. In touch with your skin. The skin is our biggest sensory organ. Someone calculated that in an adult it is about 20 square feet of surface area if laid out flat and weighs 9 pounds. We tend to label the skin as the organ of touch, even though it could be said that we are touched by the world through our other, in some ways, more specialized sense organs as well. But what the word touch most evokes for us is intimately tied to our skin. This is also true when we use the word feel in certain ways, for it is by way of the skin that what we think of as physical contact is made and felt, and it is here where the simultaneous bidirectional reciprocity of our contact with the world is most apparent, for we cannot touch something without being touched by it in the very same instant. We also know that the skin is intimately tied to our emotions. If we let them, things can get under our skin. Also, we blush with embarrassment, are flushed with pride, turn white with fear, pale with grief, green with envy. For all these reasons and many more, the skin is a magnificent object of meditation. Bringing awareness to our skin, we readily sense the air around the body, perhaps for the first time consciously. At first, it may be easier to feel the air touching the skin and our skin touching the air when there's a breeze blowing. But with cultivation, we can sense the air around the body at any time, even when the air is not moving, just by bringing awareness to the envelope of the body. The skin breathes, and we can sense or imagine it breathing across this membrane between our flesh and the rest of the biosphere, just by intentionally placing our mind on and in our skin. Our awareness can envelop the skin like a glove envelops our hand. Awareness soaks right into the skin like water into a sponge. When we are mindful of the sensations in the skin, it feels like our mind is inhabiting our skin. Smellscape. Sitting on the porch of a Cape Cod house in mid-August, the salt air that I have known intimately since childhood carries intimations of the nearby sea to my nose. It has an unmistakably familiar fragrance, but almost indescribable in its complexity and its delicacy. Whenever I return to this place, I know I'm getting close by the smells that mix the land and the sea into the air. It carries a seaweed aroma, ever so faint, a wet sand aroma, an eelgrass aroma, an aroma of all the plant and animal seashore life surrounding us on three sides, in tidal pools and on the beaches. There is also the smell of damp, dank earth from the nearby sassafras woods and wetlands, and occasional wafts of the hydrangeas in the flower garden and from the uncut grass baking in the increasingly strong mid-morning sun. Fragrances offer us a world unto itself via our most delicately attuned scents. The nose can detect infinitesimal levels of aromatic compounds, a few parts per trillion in some cases. Smell is fundamentally a molecular sense, as is taste. Of course, smelling and tasting are closely related anatomically and functionally. When our nose is blocked up, it's hard for us to taste anything. Even though our own olfactory prowess is meager compared to most animals, still, it is the case that nothing is more memorable than a smell. Our attraction or our aversion can be instant, reflexive, animal-like in nature when a scent is particularly pleasant or unpleasant. Once again, it is the air that mediates between source and detector, for the air delivers far more than sounds to our ears. Smells, scents, aromas, fragrances, stenches, and stinks travel its byways. Our dogs know them so much more vividly than we do, and often long before we do, for those we can detect at all. Dogs inhabit a smellscape far richer than ours. Theirs is a predominantly smell-defined universe that provides them with huge amounts of relevant information. Information about other dogs, people, and places. Apparently whole histories and itineraries can be inferred. People, countries, cities, villages, buildings and houses, landscapes, seascapes, all have their signature aromas. A first whiff of New Delhi is never forgotten, and so it is for most places and seasons, except when we mask and sanitize them compulsively. Scents speak to us of many things, evoke many feelings, emotions that go way beyond nostalgia or mere memory. Scents and fragrances can plunge us into grief or ecstasy, and yet they wake us up too, invite us to surrender entirely to the present, basking in the fragrance and the fragrances of now.